Hey guys, this is Andrew with the Utah Jazz Podcast. Sorry, it's a little bit late. I was doing something right after the game, so I couldn't quite get this up right after the game. So, anyways, Jazz go to Sacramento, and like I said on yesterday's podcast, I figured the Jazz would lose by 10-plus points, and they lost by 11 tonight. And it's not just... I didn't expect the Kings to be a raucous crowd like this. I just expected the Kings to be the Kings against the Jazz, which the Kings played very well against the Jazz, and they played very well tonight. Plus, it was a whole... I guess they had a huge fundraiser and stuff to get this game sold out, and there was chants throughout the game, here we stay, and fans wanted to stay there, and it's just... as much as we can hate the Kings, their fans are just like Jazz fans, and they're still very supportive, very crazy, and such. We may hate DeMarcus Cousins, and they may hate the Kings themselves, but, you also gotta give tribute to the fact that when John Stockton retired, he got a standing ovation in Sacramento. In Sacramento, from every single person in the crowd. TV announcers, analysts, blah, everybody. Standing ovation for John Stockton when he checked out when they were down about 20 with 6 minutes left in the game. He checks out. Final game of his career, Sacramento gives a standing ovation. You got to give props to the Kings. I mean, they know their stuff, and, you know, it sucks that they're going to lose their team. It really does suck, and the fans tried to make a stand, but probably it was a pretty similar stand to what Seattle fans made. But it's just gonna happen, and it sucks, it really does. And maybe along down the line they'll get a team back, but it won't be the Kings. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It may not be for 10 years. May happen in 5 years. Who knows? It really depends what's going on. But anyways, to the game itself, the Jazz. It was a game of runs. Jazz made a run, and then the Kings bounced back with a huge run. And then the Jazz make a run to tie it back up again, and then the Kings go on a big run again. And it was just, that was the game. And then, I mean, it was a weird game. So quarter by quarter, 29-31 in favor of Sacramento, then 25-31 for Sacramento, 20-25 for Sacramento, and then 35-33 for Jazz. So, you know, the Kings had this game. I mean, they were not going to lose this game. It didn't matter what team was playing them that night. Could have been the Miami Heat, could have been the Thunder, could have been the Spurs. They were going to win that night. It did not matter who it was. So, Marvin had a little bit better offensive night. 8 points tonight, 2 for 3 from deep. 3 rebounds, 1 block. Paul Millsap struggled. He got 5 fouls in the game. He got his third in the second quarter, and then he came back in the fourth quarter, got his fourth, and then got his fifth. Within about 5 minutes, he got his fifth foul, and then Corbin just kind of sat him for the rest of the game. Not because of that, it was just his decision, and the Jazz were actually playing decently without him, and they tried to make a run back to get back with about 5 minutes left in the game. The Jazz cut it to 13 or 12, and then Sacramento won another run again, and Jazz just never had control of this game, not for 1 second. Al Jefferson, 16 points all in the first half. 4 for 4 from the free throw line. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist. I might be lying about the 16 points all in the first half. He may have had 2 buckets in the third, but most of his points were in the first half. Randy Foy, he was okay tonight. 3 of 8 from the field, 1 3-pointer, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. 8 points. Jamal Tinsa, you know, it's everybody. You know, ever since, who was it? Was it Indiana? Was it Indiana? It may have been Indiana. Where they... The first game where people decided they were just going to let Jamal Tinsley shoot it. Make Jamal Tinsley hit a three-pointer against you. Let Jamal Tinsley kill you. And they just bring the point guard. Whoever's guarding Jamal Tinsley goes over to double Al. And that's causing problems with the Jazz. It really does. And that's just not having Mo. If Jazz had Mo... They would not be doing that, and maybe Jazz wouldn't have some losses. But then again, Jazz would have other losses because thanks to Earl Watson and thanks to Jamal Tinsley, they've had some really good games. And So it's hand in hand. You get Mo back, you lose certain games, but you win other games, and so you'd still be in the same spot. But I think we're starting now that people are figured out how to defend Earl and Jamal, and they can just go double Al whenever they want to, or Paul, or Canner, or Favors, you know, whoever they want in a double, they can just take off the point guard. Because I mean, until Randy or Alec plays the one, they can do that as much as they want, because Jamal and Earl are not going to hit very much. I mean, Jamal was 1 of 4 tonight. Earl was 2 for 3, actually had a decent offensive game. I mean, 2 for 3, but you know, he also had 5 dimes. Jamal Tinsley had 5 assists as well, 4 steals, so pretty good right there on a block. So Alec Burks had a career night, 7 of 15 from the field. He can, I mean, that's showing he can shoot. I mean, that's what, 52% from the field, or sorry, not 52, 48. I was thinking the other way around. 48%. I mean, if he can shoot between 46 to 48% for his career, you know, he's gonna be deadly. So, and then, I mean, that's shooting. I mean, that means jump shooting. Not to mention what he can do at the rim. I mean, he's still trying to figure out how to finish at the rim. Burks, here's an awesome stat. 9 of 9 from the free throw line. He can get, previous issues have been he could get to the free throw line, but then he would shoot 60%, 65%. And that's just not him. I mean, he shot 70% in college. And for the most part, if you shoot a percentage in college, you're going to shoot about 10% better for the most part. More so for good free throw shooters. Alec Burks shot 70% in college. You kind of expect him to shoot close to 80% or so in the NBA. Well, that hasn't translated, and it didn't translate for a long time. And probably ever since Earl Watson got hurt and he started getting minutes at the one, basically, is when Earl and Gordon got hurt. Burks has been playing well, and he's been shooting very well from the free throw line. I don't know what his stats would be for that, and maybe I could pull it up. But you know, Burks, I mean, ever since that, you know, his free throw shooting is great. Shooting overall has been pretty decent. Let's see if his previous 10 games, does that have free throw shooting? Nope, just has everything but free throw shooting. In the last 10 games, he's been shooting 39% from the field, so not great. 2 rebounds a game, 2.2 assists per game, 0.3 blocks, 0.6 steals, and only 1.3 fouls a game, scoring about 6 points a game. Versus Sacramento, which is only... Oh, he had another game. He's played 31 minutes a night versus Sacramento. 71% from the field. Pretty good. 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, 2 steals, and only 1 foul a game. 14 points a game, though. That's great. In February, okay, here's his February numbers. He's shooting 41% from the field, 2.8 rebounds, 2.6 assists, 0.2 blocks, 0.8 steal, 2 fouls a game, but averaging 7 points a game. So, I mean, that's basically from since Gordon got hurt, Gordon and Earl. I mean, that's great. I mean, he's gotten his career free throw percentage up. Last year, he did shoot around 70% from the free throw line. This year, he's kind of a... Oh, here we go. I think I got it right now. Let's see. February. Where's the free throw percentage? February, he's shooting 100% from the free throw line. Fan-freaking-tastic. How many attempts? He's getting about 1 attempt per game and getting 1 attempt. Let's see if it's going to show... Nope, it won't show me how many free throws he's made this month, but we could say it's quite a bit. 25 minutes a game. He's shooting 41% from the field. He's actually shooting 66% from deep, which is great. Definitely want to do that. Here's an interesting stat. When the Jazz win and he's playing, about 15 minutes a game, 42% from the field, 38% from three, which was fantastic. Shooting 75% from the free throw line. He's getting about two rebounds a game, 1.4 assists, and scoring about 5.7. So his differences between wins and losses is shooting percentage. That's it. He shoots 42% in wins, 33% in losses, and the same dramatic drop between in the three-point line, 38 from in wins and 28 losses. So, yeah, I mean, it's, man, I wish it would show me how many he's made this month. It's not telling me how much he made this month. Anyway, but I mean, this is, if Burks can play like this, like he played tonight, where he's hitting jumpers, getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line, making all of his free throws. I mean, I know this is against, you know, not very good team, but like I said, they've got some good, he had some good defenders on him here. Tyreek was guarding him. Thornton's not a good defensive player, but still, you know, it's not like he has terrible defenders on him. Tyreek is a good defender, so he may have struggled a little bit against Tyreek, but he took it to him and didn't let up. So, DeMar Carroll, 50% from the field, 5 of 10, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 14 points. He was playing great tonight. Where's Favors? 3 of 7, 8 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Jeremy Evans got about 4 minutes along with Kevin Murphy. Then Kevin Murphy didn't really play well. And they give him a plus 4. I don't know why. He had 1 assist, and that was the stat. 0 for 3 from the field. Jeremy Evans, 1 of 2 from the field. 2 for 2 from the free throw line. 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 4 points. Not too bad. Not bad at all. I mean, the Jazz shoot 48% from the field. The Kings shoot 52%. Jazz get out-rebounded 44-39, 27-23 assists in favor of Kings. 8 steals, 2-11 in favor of Kings. 7-6 blocks for Jazz. 18 turnovers for the Jazz. Not good right there. And 16 for the Kings. 27-24 fouls apiece for the Jazz on top. Jazz played well. The only thing you could say, you know, that, you know, really hurt the Jazz was too many turnovers. 18. It's too much. You want to cut that by 4 to have a decent chance. And rebounds. I mean, the Kings got 16 offensive rebounds. The Kings were sharing the ball, too. The Jazz were 25 of 26 from the free throw line. You know, the Jazz, overall, you look at the stats and you think, probably a win. The only kind of keys right there are just the turnovers and fouls. And you're just like, that's about it. But I mean, Jazz shoot 48% from the field, 25 of 26 from the free throw line. Most that stat line usually will get you a win. But tonight it's just the Kings just outplayed the Jazz. I mean, their stat 52% from the field, 42 from deep. Their free throws. 68%, but 44 rebounds, 27 assists, 11 steals, 6 blocks, only 16 turnovers, 120 points. I mean, that's good. That's a great stat line. And if the Kings could somehow play like that every night, I mean, they would be in the playoff race. But for some odd reason, they play like the Jazz usually play. They're up and down, up and down, up and down. Theirs is more drastic, but anyways, the Jazz got Oklahoma City Thunder on Tuesday. Then we have the Timberwolves on Wednesday, and that's it. So the Jazz, unfortunately, have, you know, probably about a 50% chance to go 0-4 to finish off before the break. Not good. I mean, seriously, the Jazz definitely need to get a bounce-back win against the Thunder, which would be a huge win, and then go to Timberwolves. I cannot get their name. I'm just like, I know what it is. How do I say it? I don't know. I can't remember. I can't remember how to talk. But they just need to get a good win against the Timberwolves, win those last two, so you can go 2-2, which is, you know, what you kind of thought they would do. Except you'd think they would have beat the Bulls, lose the Kings, lose the Thunder, and then beat the Timberwolves. But unfortunately, you lose your first two, and then you're kind of like, it could be 1-3 or 0-4, and you're hoping it's 2-2. I've got to get these two in, so big next two games, Tuesday and Wednesday. That's all. Follow me on Twitter, @OakleyCon, OakleyCon, and you guys have a great night.